Man, isn't that incredible? Just those stories. And I was looking through some old photos this week, Dan, and as I was looking through them, I found a picture of Greg's daughter, and she's at the whiteboard in the office, the board that we strategize on, Todd. We write our stuff on in elder meetings, and we're working through. And she had written on there during one of our meetings, "I will follow Jesus forever." And I was like, wow, isn't that powerful? Powerful. So great stories of what's coming out here at Grace Hill and what God is doing. And so we've been in a series called State of Eight. And Tamara, as we enter in this last week, would you just lead us in prayer, open us up in prayer for this?
Absolutely. Do you have a Band-Aid holding your mic into place?
No.
Jason, how did that happen?
Okay, now when I'm preaching, no one's going to be listening. They're going to be looking for the Band-Aid.
We just had to say it. I just couldn't believe it while he was talking.
So. Jason, we're going to have to edit this part out, right?
I heard we needed to be funnier, right? Eight more years of fun. That's what's coming.
That's what's coming.
Well, I'm very excited to continue our State of Eight series. I believe God has so many great things in store for Grace Hill, for this community. So let's pray before we get started to hear what God has placed in Pastor's heart this morning. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory this morning. We are so thankful to be a part of Grace Hill, of the work that you are doing here in Dallas. We're thankful to be a part of your kingdom. And Jesus, we ask that you would guide and direct our steps from this day forward, Father. Lord, that you would lead us into what you would have us to do to expand your name, to expand your kingdom, to bring glory to you, Father. Lord, right now I pray that our ears would be anointed to hear, that our hearts would be open for the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love being a part of a church that is so generous with their giving. I love being a part of a church that is so generous with their serving, and they love the community. They love children. I love being a part of a church that loves missions. Forrest, I love that we have a church that loves missions and loves raising up leaders and is committed to helping people in our community and around the world and in our church. I love that. Isn't that great to be a part of a church that is so friendly and loves people? Isn't that amazing? We are so blessed, and I can't wait. I'm excited about where God has taken us and where we're going. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been in a series called State of Eight, and the first week we covered basically where we've been over the last 8 years. Really, we've covered the character of God, and we saw his provision and his life-changing and his grace and how he still speaks to people. So we looked at and celebrated the character of God. Last week, we looked at what the church should be or what the church could be, and we saw a beautiful picture of that in the early church in the book of Acts. But today, it's an exciting day for me because we're going to be looking at the direction that God is going to take us over the next 2 years. And not only what he's doing in us the next 2 years, guys, but what happens the next 2 years really dictates then the next 5 years, the next 10 years, that this is a significant direction that we're going as a church, and I believe some things that will affect our future in a good way. But before we look at that, I want us to turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings and look at this text of Hebrew scripture here from the Old Testament. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, here's what's going on as you're turning there. That the Syrians had laid siege to the capital of Israel in Samaria. And so they had surrounded the city, and no one was allowed to go in and no one is allowed to go out. That they had totally laid siege to the city. And not only that, that's desperate enough, but it was a famine going on in the land. So in this famine, it's a crisis moment that they are under attack. They don't have the firepower to fight their way out. They don't have food. And so literally it's reached crisis conditions. And in the midst of this, Elijah the prophet goes to the king, and he tells that in just a short time, the situation in the city is going to turn and the famine will end. And man, it doesn't look like that's even possible because it's such desperate situations and desperate moments. And no one knows how but God. And while Elijah is declaring this to the king, and while he's telling the king that, man, the situation is going to change, there are some lepers outside the city. Now, leprosy, as you know, is a skin condition that's incurable then, it's incurable now, it's contagious, and so ultimately, it's where it's a skin disease that would ultimately cost the person their lives. And so with this disease, they weren't allowed to even be in the city. They could only be outside the city. And if they had leprosy and there's people walking down the road towards them, they would have to yell out that they had leprosy. And then often they were outcast. And even if they followed all the rules of that disease and lived outside an encampment, that as people came around, they would throw rocks at them. So here are these lepers, and that they're outside the city, but within the ring of the opposing army, and they are facing the crisis of famine as well. And so that is where we pick up, and we see that these lepers are about to change the destiny of Samaria. Now, beginning in verse 3, here's what it says. Now, there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we stay, we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we'll die. And if we stay here, we're going to die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans, to the Syrians, and we'll surrender. And if they spare us, we'll live. And if they kill us, then we die." Here's what another version says. Another version says, then if they kill us, then only we'll die. Instead of suffering, instead of, you know, wasting away, if they kill us, then we only die. It's better than what we're facing now. I mean, this is a terrible situation that they're in. Their situation is bad. In fact, so bad that they come to the conclusion of, we can't stay here. It's a worst case scenario is they're killed, but it's better than just wasting away. And so really, if we look at it, we say that is an incredibly desperate moment. But here's what I want us to capture today, Grace Hill, is that I want our eyes to be open to the desperate situation that our nation is in. To the desperate situation that we're in spiritually, the situation that we're in morally, that it feels like our world and our nation is broken in so many ways. It feels like that we're in a spiritual and a moral ditch. In fact, did you know a recent study came out by George Barna, who's one of the premier studiers of the church and pollsters of the church, and writes he has all the information on the direction of our country and church, and well-respected in secular forums and in church forums alike. And he said in his recent book that 46% of adult Americans are considered unchurched, meaning that they don't have a clear enough understanding of the gospel to make a realistic decision to follow Christ or not follow Christ. That's the highest percentage that it's ever been in the history of our country. We've been through eras of ebbs and flows and then revival and then turning away, but this is the highest that it's ever been, to my understanding, and that 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, it was only 34% and now 46%. And the same study has revealed that Americans between the ages of 15 and 29, en masse, 59% of them are leaving the church for an extended period of time or for the rest of their lives. That, guys, we see the moral situations around us, and our nation is in a desperate situation, much like the lepers were in that moment. And let me tell you, as a church, we can't stay here. Verse number 5 says this: "Then the men with leprosy got up at dusk, and they went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up, and they fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses, and they left the camp as it was." So here's what happens, is the lepers say, "Hey, we can't stay here." Elijah is telling the king, "Hey, the city's fortunes are about to change. The lepers go to the Arameans and they walk to the camp just going to beg for mercy and beg for food. And really, man, God sends this miracle. It's almost like this virtual attack that the Syrians hear sounds as if the Israelites paid, that they paid the Jewish army, the Egyptian army to be mercenaries, and they are afraid and they flee, leaving behind their tents, their livestock, their food, their gold, their silver, all the loot from all the people that they had conquered on the way to Samaria. And so this is amazing. Verse 8 says that the men who reached the edge of the camp entered one of the tents and they ate and drank. Then they took the silver and the gold and the clothes and they went off and they hid them in the hillside. They returned and entered another tent and they took some things from it and they hid them also. So they walk into the camp just simply to beg for mercy, Vivian. Like, please, can I have some food? Spare my life. But if you kill me, it's better than what I'm going through now. Desperate. Only to walk in and it's barren. No people. There's tents. There's food. There's grain. There's cattle. There's gold. There's clothes. There's all of that. But no one's there. They walk into a ghost town and suddenly it's like, oh, we have been starving and now they're eating. That they left everything that they have and suddenly not only are their stomachs full, but so is their bank account. I mean, these guys went from impoverished to like crazy rich. And I'm talking rich, rich with a capital R, capital I, capital C, capital. I mean, these guys were rich. Fortunes changed, boom, immediately. And so in the midst of all of this, in the midst of them eating and hiding clothes and hiding riches in the hills, they come to their senses. And here's what it said in verse 9. Then they said to one another, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news. Everybody say good news. This is a day of good news. And if we remain silent, and if we wait until morning, surely some punishment will come upon us. Now, because of that, let us go and tell the king's household. And so they go and they tell the king, and the city is saved. It's an amazing story. But how does it apply to Grace Hill? How does it apply to who we are and where we are at this moment in time? How does it apply to us? And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down today. Is that Grace Hill has been given an abundance of riches. That Grace Hill, we've been given a great deal of riches and that we cannot simply keep it to ourselves. So that we walk into Grace Hill, and here's what we need to understand is like we have great music. And we walk in the door. I mean, let's just talk on a real surface level. We've got great facilities. We walk in, it's spacious. Man, the AC is blowing, it feels good. And you see, we have food that when you come in, and we've been, so just on a real surface, non-spiritual level. And then we've got, then on a little deeper level, we've got the friendliest people. Man, Grace Hill, you guys are friendly. I love when we get communication cards from guests that they said, man, three people met me and they asked me to sit with them. Man, you guys made me feel welcome on my very first Sunday. I love getting those cards. That's awesome. And then you come in here and guys, we have great worship. Don't we have an incredibly talented group that we even rotate teams? And it may not be your perfect style. It may be too soft. It may be too loud. It may be too progressive, too, whatever. But isn't it amazing the quality that we have in leading people into worship? Then we have kids ministry where we're not babysitting. Those kids are walking out and learning the word of God and learning truth and learning precepts and principles of God. And so then we have life-changing small groups. In fact, you saw lining up all the way across the front. We had multiple groups, more than we've ever had, ready to present the word and present fellowship and Christian community, that we have been an abundance of riches, and that we have, if someone were to walk into Grace Hill and take advantage of all the opportunities that were here, they would experience life change in a significant way. And then, guys, we're raising up leaders and raising up some, or we're sending around the world or around the nation, and then raising up leaders for here as well. that we've been given an abundance of riches that will help us grow in our walks with God and encounter the grace of God. And with that in mind, if you're taking notes, we can't stay where we are and sit on our spiritual riches. That for a place that has been given so much, that we can't stay here. So last week, if you'll remember, we examined one of the books of the, or one of the churches of the New Testament, the church in Antioch. And Antioch came out of the church in Jerusalem when there was the persecution of the church and the attack upon the church in Jerusalem. And they spread everywhere, all across that part of the world. And everywhere they went, instead of hiding their faith, they shared their faith. And churches started all over because of that. And Antioch was one of those strategically placed cities that was a city of trade, and people would come in and people would go out and people would hear the gospel and get saved, go to their community, start the church. This incredible thing was happening. But Antioch came out of Jerusalem. So both of these churches, both Jerusalem and Antioch, were powerful and growing faith communities. Both of these communities were seeing God work, were doing some incredible things. So they had sound doctrine, which is what we talked about last week. They had close fellowship, and they enjoyed fellowship. Both these churches did. Both of them prayed fervently. They sought the Lord and prayed for each other and prayed for their community. Both churches gave generously. That we have recording moments in which they were very generous with each other in missions, and they were generous. They both experienced incredibly dynamic public worship. And then they both saw a supernatural move of God. And you can read this in Acts 11, just this incredible move of God supernaturally. Yet over time, though both of them had sound doctrine, and both of them were generous, and both of them prayed, and both of them saw God move, and both of them fellowshipped well, over time, the church in Jerusalem grew declined. That they declined, yet the church in Antioch continued to thrive. But what was the primary cause of this cycle? What was the primary cause of the Jerusalem church sinking and Antioch continuing to thrive and being the primary force of sending churches throughout the entire Roman Empire? If you're taking notes, what happened? The church in Jerusalem grew satisfied and complacent. But the church in Antioch kept pushing forward. And guys, I want to tell you that God has blessed Grace Hill, and so many of us in this room today, and so many of us who are listening online, that so many of us have experienced salvation, our life transformation, our growth, and that there's been this abundance in Christ. And I want to tell you that those things are great. We cannot stay here. We've got to move forward. So where do we plan to go? If you're taking notes today, that you can write this in. We left blanks here for what God is stirring in your heart, what we say. But here's what we need to understand is this. Where do we plan to go? We're going to share just a bit of the picture of where God has taken us over the next 2 years in this moment. And guys, hopefully it stirs our heart. Hopefully for some of us, it's going to be like, wow, this is new. It's a new thought. But I want to tell you, everything we're presenting today is not a new initiative. It's not a new plan. It's not even new for Grace Hill. It's just simply where God's taking us further, because we've always pursued to do or desired to do God's will. We've always desired to advance God's kingdom. In fact, early in the church, Dan, when we're in the theater still, and it's like within the first year of the church that this congregation took up a significant offering for a church plant in Detroit, Michigan, and gave it to that church, and that church still exists today. Because we've always been a part of advancing the cause, raising up leaders. Immediately, early on in the process, we saw people coming to faith and renewing their faith. So we've always been about salvation and life transformation. So immediately, we launched in the fall of 08, and people began to renew their faith and come to faith. That over the time of our 8-year existence, that we've raised up leaders and we've sent them out both across the nation. Worship leaders that we've come and raised up here have gone out around the country and been on staff at other churches. And we've raised them up here, their first position, and we've sent them out. And then we've sent missionaries literally around the world. Now, I want to stop right there, guys. We talk about that a lot. And I never want, Dan, for that to be static noise that just... I never want that to be static, to where we say, oh, okay, we sent out 7 missionaries, and we got another one going out this fall, and then the Chastain's going out in the spring, and then, you know, and then, oh, yeah. No. I want us to understand how significant that is. How powerful that is. What God is doing through this congregation and where literally the tentacles of our outreach goes around the world. And then we've seen people come to Grace Hill, get saved, and then go back to their country and serve the Lord back where they came. They came for school, and then they go back and still serve the Lord. So don't let that ever become white noise for us that we've seen over the last 8 years what God is doing through this church. And so today, here's what I want us to see, where God wants to take us over the next 2 years, because God doesn't want us to stay here. Number one, that I really want us to improve our discipleship process. And part of that would be is that we're going to have a series of classes that rotates through that will help us move forward with our understanding of theology and of God and our encounter with the Lord and also leadership development. And so it'll be offered on a rotating basis. And the goal would be for every one of us over a 2-year period to go through Class A. And there every one of us through a 2-year period to go through Class B. And then every one of us to go through Class C. And that we it helps us to move forward. And then as we grow, then we take another group through Class A, and then another class through Class B. And you don't necessarily have to take one to take the other to take the other. You don't have to do that, but it's different classes that will move us forward, both theologically, encounter with God, an understanding of the call upon this church and how that lines up biblically. But it'd be a powerful process, systematic process of us having discipleship beyond the Sunday morning experience. And so it'll give us sound doctrine. It will give us Bible study patterns. It will give us things to improve both our personal devotion and our corporate devotion. Part of what we have going on here. Number two, so not only are we going to improve our discipleship process, but small groups, connection groups play a big part of that. And so let me cast a little vision here. How many of you in here, first let me ask this, ever feel nervous about speaking in front of people? Did you know the number one fear in America was public speaking? More than dying. People are saying, I would rather die than public speak. But I want to say this, and there's going to be a bunch of you that capture this today. There's going to be a bunch of you in this room that thought, I would never attend a small group, much less lead a small group, that in a year, you're going to be leading a small group. And that in a year, where every room in this building will be packed out on Wednesday nights, and we're going to say, no more groups on Wednesday, we can't house you. You got to go to another night, another time, another place. Poof, get out of the church and go lead people to Christ in your home. Connection groups are going to be a big part of that. And so what we are going to improve is we're going to improve the continuing education for those who are small group leaders. We're going to keep helping you, assisting you, training you, getting you ready, because ultimately, you know what's going to happen is we're going to not just recruit from our church pool, we're going to recruit from work and from our neighborhood and from our family, and they're going to be a part of a small group, and we're going to see them come to faith in our small groups and in the church. Does that make sense? And then for those who've said, I've never led a group, we are getting a process to where you feel incredibly comfortable and you're incredibly well-equipped and incredibly well-resourced to be able to lead a small group. So for us, that's part of what we're doing again. And what happens is that this gives us biblical community. It gives us discipleship. It also, for those who have a calling, and I'm not talking about a vocational calling, I'm talking about the priesthood of all believers, that it gives you expression to teach, to train, to love, to shepherd, to pastor, and lead people into this closer relationship to the Lord as you're growing. But I want to tell you, how many of you ever feel inadequate with what you know in the Bible to teach it? Any of you ever feel inadequate with knowledge? Come on, raise them up high. You know how you end up learning more? It's by teaching what you know. That once you start sharing, and once you have to teach what you know, suddenly you're going, I better know it better. I better get it a little bit closer, and then you're going to learn it, and we're going to move it forward in your knowledge and understanding. But this also, look, when I talk about discipleship process, when I talk about small groups, Dan, that's not something where we go, wow, that is awesome. that in a year we're going to have twice as many small groups. Wow, that's so awesome. Let me open up my checkbook and write it for that great vision. But let me tell you what it does, is that it lets us connect in biblical community. It lets us disciple and grow in our faith. It lets us be connected one to another in brotherly love and godly agape love, phileo, but brotherly love. But also it will sustain as we grow numerically. It sustains. It is the foundation of our public gatherings, has to be also our small group gatherings. And that as people come into the church, that there are avenues for them to connect. So it sustains that. Number three, if you're taking notes, within 2 years, I want us to, so we're looking at 8 years, we're looking to 10 years, that within 2 years that I want us to have a second service, because this one is full to overflowing, to packed out. And I want you to know that, guys, we're going to have a parking issue before we ever have an auditorium issue. And so we're already working on parking with our neighbor that we use the bike shop, that we're also parked on the side back that runs behind the stage here, and that ultimately we're working on other relationships across the street. And so there will come a time where our parking lot's so full, and that you strong men, I'm going to ask you to park across the street and walk across so that we can have parking. Does that make sense? Are you with me? This isn't like, woo, this is a great theology, Pastor. What this is, guys, that we're going to make room for people to come in and encounter Christ and know him from every different people group in our area, every different race, every economic status, every neighborhood, that they're going to be here coming to know Christ. And so we're going to make room for them. How many of you are excited about a second service? Some of you can come early. Some of you can come with all the late people, can come late. Tamara, you got to come to both. Tamara, I said, you got an early service, and she goes, yay, and I was like, you got to come to both, woman. Additional service, number four, is that also, guys, listen to this, we have to grow in impact. We have to grow in impact, and you know what that means here at Grace Hill? It means that we have to grow in attendance. The church started with just this handful of committed people to putting a new work here in the middle of the city. And guys, it's been a slow, steady progress here at Grace Hill. And it took us a while to get to 150 or so. It took us several years to get to 150, like 6.5, 7 years, just a slow, steady progress, growth, growth, growth. But I believe that in the next 2 years, that God wants us to grow another 150 in the next 2 years. How many of you believe that God just doesn't do addition, he does multiplication? I see that. I feel like in our hearts that registers. That he took the loaves and the fishes and he just didn't break it up and divide it. He multiplied. So here's the thing. I'm not talking about we take the people from the church right there. I'm not talking about that the church over, you know, about half a mile down on the left, old traditional church, great people. I'm not talking about taking them. I'm talking about the people in the neighborhood right here that don't know Jesus. And I'm talking about my neighborhood where so many don't know Jesus. And that we see God transform lives. And sometimes the transforming of life isn't people that don't have life together. They got some of it together. But they go from success in world terms to significance in eternity. And so I want to see people that, I love Chewie's story, where it just says that the Bible didn't make sense, so I didn't go to church, and Ivy invited him to church. And he's like, yeah, Ivy's my friend, I'll come to church with you, whatever, I'll hang out. And suddenly he said, I came for about a month, and what he told me in our interview before we even shot the video, it's like, I was like, yeah, this makes sense to me, and I committed my life to Christ. And then you hear what he said. He says, and now I'm going to serve God the rest of my life because of Ivy. And so what I'm saying is those stories of people who come to know Christ because they were introduced to the love of Christ by one of us. The church, let me tell you this, the church should grow by reaching non-believers. The church should grow by reaching those who are lost. Also, number five is that we're going to continue our push for missions. We're going to continue our push for missions. We are a strong missions supporting church, both in our hearts and with supporting them financially as we enable them to work across the world. And so there's going to be two things in the coming year that I'm going to ask you to be generous to. And I'm going to be generous to it. I'm going to ask you to be generous. But we're going to help plant the church in College Station. They're going to launch around Easter. They started last week and they had their first team service. And he sent me a picture and he said, "Humble beginnings." And it was a picture of they set up. You know how we used to set up and tear down? You remember those days, Debbie? And they used to set up. And so they had set up and they were having service. And they said the only reason they had a public service is because their team is meeting so many people who aren't in church that said, "I'll come to your church. When do you start meeting?" And they said, "Well, we don't meet till Easter." "Well, man, can I not come sooner?" And they had this public service just because they were meeting so many people who wanted to come to church. I'm going to ask you to give to that and to support that. I'm so excited that we get to be a part of what God is doing. I'm going to ask you to give to the project in Thailand and sending the Chastains, because we're going to continue to be a mission church. And listen, as we give to missions, it is an unselfish thing. It doesn't go to beautifying our building. It doesn't go to expanding the offices and making another kids' room, which is on the table. It doesn't go to making our toddlers and two room, to finishing that out with a nicer floor and all that. It doesn't go to what we're doing here, to our advertising and our evangel. It's something where we're saying unselfishly, we believe in the cause of the gospel enough to support it, whether it brings us direct return or not. And I believe God honors that. I believe God directs us to do that. And I believe there's great reward in that. And so I believe these are the five things that we're going to move for in the next 2 years. And so what does it take from you and me? Like, this is a big vision for us to say, okay, we're going to have 150 more in the next 2 years. We're going to add a service. We're going to continue in missions. We're going to expand our connection group and raise up leaders. So what does this take from you and I, Tamara?
Well, these are big tasks that Pastor is talking about. But you know what? It can be summed up in just one thing. This is the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always." So that's what we're talking about this morning, is that we are expanding God's kingdom. And truthfully, guys, the tasks that we do for that, that's the most important task we do. It's more important than the job that you go to on Monday morning and check off your boxes or add your numbers together or whatever you do at work. It's more important than that. It's souls. It's lives. That's what we're talking about when we talk about expanding God's kingdom. And so specifically, what do I need to do to make this happen? What do you need to do to make this happen? Well, the first thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is something we can all do. So nobody gets to be off the hook on this one. And it is a greater commitment to prayer. Prayer. How easy is that? Some of you might go, "Wait, that's not easy." But it can be. It's just talking to God about what's going on. And so each and every one of us can have a greater commitment to prayer. And something I'm specifically going to ask you today, and I didn't talk this over with Pastor, but I think that God would really have this for us. You know, each of us need to commit to at least 10 or 15 minutes a day of prayer. And some of you might be, "Well, I'm way past that." Well, but a lot of us aren't. And so any of us can do 10 or 15 minutes. You know what? You waste that much time on Facebook. Come on. You know you do. Just like you might not have even turned your car off. Like you're sitting in your car just looking at it because you saw something and then you got distracted and then 15 minutes passed. it happens. Okay, so we can give that much time to God. But specifically, take 5 minutes and pray for 1 minute over each of the things that he talked to us about. How easy is that?
Yeah.
Take your program with you, leave it in your car, or set it on your coffee table, and instead of switching on the TV, I mean, new season's here, I know, your show's just started. We recorded Designated Survivor. We liked it. It's a good one. So yeah, there's some good stuff we can do. But instead of turning that on, just wait a few minutes and take those five things and just spend time praying over them. Is that okay?
Awesome.
That sounds good. We can all do that. And then there's a couple more opportunities that we can do prayer together. First of all, 9 a.m. right over here. We're going to meet for prayer. You heard Valerie talk about the group that she's leading. Be a part of that. The second thing is at 10 a.m., we all have prayer. All the volunteers, those of us that are in kids getting ready for kids service, or those of us that are greeting, we come together at 10 o'clock and we pray together. Everyone is invited to be a part of that. And you know what? If you come on out for that, you'll be first to the snacks at the table. So there you go, right? And the first Sunday, we have donuts, so you can take the first crack at those donuts. And then another opportunity is about quarterly. On Wednesday night, we have corporate prayer. And those are beautiful services. If you haven't been to one of those, you are truly missing out, because it's an opportunity to just have intimate worship and prayer and just kind of focus in on God. I feel so much peace during those meetings. And so we reach in and just pray and seek God for an hour. And so I want to encourage you to join in on those things. And Pastor has like three more things that he would like to speak to about how you can be a part. But prayer, guys, that's the easiest. That's something each and every one of us can do. If you're not outgoing, that's okay. You can still pray. If you're way outgoing, you can pray loudly if you want to. I mean, all of us can take just a few minutes every day and pray for our church and for what God has asked us to do.
Two opportunities, again, that we mentioned that are really directed prayer that would be powerful is at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We pray in the auditorium. Beautiful group of people in here praying for service every week. And then the 9 a.m. small group that's meeting starting next 2 weeks in the green room right here, starting 2 weeks from today. So greater commitment to serving next week. Next week, that prayer group starts next week. So not only a greater commitment to prayer, but what will it require from us is a greater commitment to serving. A greater commitment to serving. So find a ministry and serve, but not just serve, grow and develop and do your best and give your best in that area. And so community outreach, jump in. In an area where we're doing evangelistic outreach, jump in and serve. When we go to two services, man, what a great opportunity to serve in one and to attend one. What a powerful thing. That's one of the reasons that we don't allow people to serve in kids ministry or to serve in preschool and toddlers or to serve in the nursery every week so that they don't miss service. But what a great opportunity we have two services to attend one and serve in one. Man, what we do is so good here, and we get to continue by the grace of God to serve. And we're good at this. As a church, we are good at serving, and by the grace of God, we'll continue to do that. But also, number three, a greater commitment to generosity. With greater impact comes a need for greater resources, which comes a need for greater generosity. And it feels good to give. Why does it feel good to give? Because it's a biblical principle of generosity. It's a biblical principle that God, what God has given to us, he's given to us to give. In fact, the Bible says that you have been blessed so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, here's the thing. We're not talking about not paying bills. We're not talking that everybody gives the same. We're talking not about equal giving, but about equal obedience. Everybody say obedience. equal obedience. And so what happens is the best way to give is just to give monthly, to give online, to give steady, and to provide plan that into your budget. And what's happening over the next few 2 years that we're going to add staffing. As we add staffing, we need to help facilitate that. That as we continue to expand the facility and we knock out some rooms for additional kids ministry in the coming months, that we have the ability to do that. So increased generosity. And number four is a greater commitment to inviting. I love the story of the lepers in this sense, is that they said, we have so much here that we can't stay here and keep it. We've got to go tell. And I know that one of the ways that many of you came to this church was through flyers and through advertising. That you got a flyer in the mail, or you had one on your door, a door hanger, or you saw an ad in the magazine, local magazine, and that's how you end up coming to Grace Hill. And that is awesome. In fact, that's the way that you ended up at Grace Hill. But did you know that people are far more apt to come if they're invited? That if there is a friend who says, hey, I'll go with you, and we get here early, we get here on time, so that when they get here as the guest, that they're always on time, that we're here to sit with them. And they're far more apt to stay if we connect with them while they're here and follow up with them. And so what's going to happen is we're going to restart sending flyers and mailers and advertisement and things like that that plants the seed. And my encouragement is that you seal the deal by inviting, and what they've already been seeing, that you seal the deal and bring them to church. And so how many of you know that people need Jesus? And I'm not just talking about the help with a few things. A deep need inside of our hearts for Jesus. And as we invite them, we share with them there, as we do those things, ultimately that they have the chance to come here and to know Christ and to grow in Christ. And so I want to encourage you that your friends are going to see mailers and advertisements. You're going to see them. The seeds will be planted, and you're the one to invite them and bring them to service. And so here's how I want to close today. I want us to stand to pray, and I want us to really say, Lord, what do you have for our church in the future? What do you have for us as a church? And that, can we grow by 150 in the next 2 years? Can we grow in small groups? In fact, on a really personal level, Dan, can I lead a small group? Can I be involved in discipleship and growing in the Lord? Because how many of you know God has a plan for our lives? So guys, I want to go through one more time. And I want our hearts to be stirred here, guys. So work with me. Number one, we're going to improve our discipleship process. Number two, we're going to have small groups as a major push in the church that we all get involved. Never pressure, but why would we want to miss out on community and on spiritual growth? Number three, that we want to add a service within 2 years. An additional service. Man, got family, come bring them early and then go hang out with family. You want to sleep in late? We'll have it a little later for you. How great of an opportunity is that? Number four, grow in impact by reaching people far from God and continue our push in missions. Father, I pray that you would lead our hearts. Father, stir our hearts, God, and that we would have a greater commitment, Lord, to prayer and to seeing, Lord, your vision for us over the next 2 years come to pass. That, Lord, we'd have a greater commitment to serving, Lord, a greater commitment to generosity, a greater commitment, Lord, to inviting, realizing, Lord, that there's possibly no one else coming, and that, Lord, I need to be the one to invite them. I need to be the one to share the love of Christ right where they're at, though they may never come to church. There may be no one else coming, that, Lord, I need to be the one to share your love, share your grace, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Before we go, I want you to grab hands across the aisle. I want you to grab hands, and we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer of faith and of declaration. And when we close it out, I want you to say amen as big as you can. Are you ready? We're going to pray. How many of you know God wants us to increase our impact in our community? And listen, as we grow, we can do more in missions. And as we grow, guys, we're going to plant more churches. And as we grow, we're going to raise, like some of you are like, now you're right here, you're going to be the pastor of that church. Woo! Woo! Someone's heart right now just jumped and they were like, oh crap, that's me. All right, we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer declaration over us. And when we get done praying, I want you to say amen as loud as you can, because that's what that you're saying there is, so be it. We're praying it, we're declaring it, and we're saying, I agree totally, so be it. That's how we're going to pray. Father, I pray that the things you put on our heart, Lord, we would see come to pass. You have been so faithful, Lord, over the last 8 years, and you're going to be faithful for the next 2 years, for the next 2 decades. You are faithful, God. And Lord, you're going to help us, Lord, be better disciples. You're going to help us, Lord, to have small groups that bring life, both relationally and spiritually. Lord, you're going to help us, Lord Jesus, to impact greater in our community, God, to where we have greater impact, Lord Jesus. Lord, and you're going to give us the resources and the wisdom, Lord, on how to arrange services. And God, you're going to allow us to have a greater impact and missions. And we're not doing this, Lord, on our own strength, because, Lord, we need you. But Lord, with you, greater is he that is within me than he is in the world. But with you, we will see these things happen for the glory of God, for the glory of God, for the glory of God. We will see these things happen with you, God. And we pray these things and declare these things in the name of Jesus. And together as a church, we say,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Guys, be full of faith, knowing God is going to fulfill these things in his church, in this church. God bless you. Have an amazing week in the Lord, and go out in faith.